Jesus Christ. It is fucking freezing in Buffalo. Because that's where I be. I be in fucking Buffalo. Buffalo, if those people, the people that are listening, is pretty close to Canada. I guess it's about a two-hour drive from Canada. It's like Niagara Falls. So anyways, yeah, I'm in Buffalo, and I wore sneakers, you know, because I'm fucking clueless, like fucking Alicia Silverstone, that 90s film. Anyways, welcome to Random Rants. This is Pauly Shore, where I randomly rant about shit that's flowing in my head. It's just kind of a way for me to connect to you people. And at some point, I'd have to say it's my, let's call it my diary, my life diary of where I'm at. As of now, you guys should do your own life diary. I'm doing mine. You do what? You do yours. Anyways, just had some barbecue at a place called Dinosaurs with my friend Warlock. We call him War Baby. He's one of those guys that, what can I say? One of my good friends, for sure. His name's Roger D'Angelo. One of my good friends lives up here. And he's just kind of living his life, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, after 50, you know, it's kind of like, I'd say cruise control, you know what I mean? You just kind of like, I mean, I'm not saying life's over. Life's not over when you're 50 at all. But I'm saying, like, you just want to kind of take it easy. You don't want to push it too hard, you know? So War Baby's 55 years old, and he used to be my, I'd have to call it my, He was. I don't want to say a roadie because I'm not a rock and roll guy. But he was like he was on tour with me back in the 90s. You know, when I used to go on tour back in the. It's hard for me to talk about. It's kind of like a rash breaks out. No, I'm just kidding. He toured with me back then, and it was Nick Light, it was Roger D'Angelo, George Zulis, Cameron, who else? I don't know. BK, you know, we all used to tour, you know. Do I want to say it was the funnest time of my life? I don't know. You know, my life's not over. So, but, you know, for a guy in his 20s, I'd have to say I hit the fucking jackpot, you know. You know, off of MTV into my films, you know, it was, I'd say a good straight 15 years, you know, on and off, on a bus, on the road, just being super appreciative and super lucky and super fortunate that, you know, I had that run then. And now we're here in Buffalo. Great audience last night. I'm excited for the audience tonight. We have to cough one sec. No, I'm not going to cut that out of my fucking podcast. A lot of people are like, oh, why don't you edit that part out, you know, so it's seamless. I don't want to fucking edit it out. It's where it is right now. This is how we're flowing. Anyways, back to my sneakers. Dumbass me, clueless, Mr. Clueless, wore sneakers. So I'm going to stay inside today. You know, it's Saturday. You know, I could be going to the mall here, could be going to the gym. You know, it could be going out, but I'd rather just kind of stay isolated, you know, with you people. You know, sometimes you just have to stay isolated. So many people always want to go out. Oh, I got to go. What about just staying in, connecting with yourself? And I would like to do yoga, but I don't fucking know how. Maybe I'll try some yoga in my place. Oh, fuck. I'm a broken down piece of wheeze, dudes. Wow, you know, downward dog action. So anyways, so last night I went to sleep pretty late. I'd have to say like around, 3, maybe 4. And then War Baby, I got a call from the fucking hotel downstairs, or the people downstairs saying, Warlock is here for you. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I don't know if I just said, oh, fuck, because I just got up, or I was saying, oh, fuck, because Warlock is here. Probably a combination of the both. But I was sleeping. I was pretty much in a dead sleep at 11 o'clock, you know, because when you go to sleep around 4, you know, 3 or 4, you know, you're fucking zoned out. Plus, I took a quarter of an Ambien. I don't like to take too much of it. It's just, I think the Ambien pill, you know, is more of a psychological thing. It's like, I think like if you know there's some sort of sleep medication inside your body, you're going to all of a sudden, oh, I'm so tired. When in actuality, it doesn't really help. I think it helps, like, because they're in your fucking system for 24 hours, you know. So, for instance, they'll help maybe later if I want to take a nap before the shows. Got a burp, and I'm not cutting it out. I'm not cutting it out. One sec. Oh, wait, the burp didn't happen. Wait, here it comes. One sec. So yeah, I'm going to stay in. So I was on my Netflix. Netflix, word to Netflix, get some more documentaries. You know, we got to get you Pauly Shore Stands Alone. We got to get you Pauly Shore's Dead. Both great indies that I control, that I own. That's the best part about, doing your own stuff, is at the end of the day, if you pay for it, guess what? You fucking own it. So I get to license it to whoever it is that I want. For instance, Crackle, the website Crackle, will be putting out my videos in. I'm not supposed to actually talk about this, they told me. They're doing like a press release thing. But I don't think anyone listens to the podcast. So I don't think that any executives from Crackle, like Deanna, beautiful Deanna, who always emails me, is like, you can't do this, you can't do that, which is awesome. She's awesome. I don't think she's going to be listening to Pauly Shore's random rants. But it's also a good way for me to just slowly start speaking about, you know, the videos that are going to be coming out. But anyways, they also license Politics, which was a special that I did for Showtime a couple years back. And Vegas Is My Oyster. So and also Jury Duty, the old movie Jury Duty. So if you go on Crackle, I think in February, you're going to see Jury Duty and Pauly Shore or Politics, Vegas Is My Oyster, and my 14 beautiful video podcast episodes, which I'm super proud of. Thank you guys so much for the people that did them. Judd Apatow, Ziggy Marley, Brett Ratner, Eliza. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of them. Fucking David Faustino. You know, all these guys that that lent their time and the, you know, their love for me. Thank you for sitting down with me and being part of the Crackle video, the Crackle video countdown. Anyways, so I'm in my I'm back in my hotel room, 404, room number 404. Of course, like I've mentioned in previous random rants, I'm not going to tell you the name of my hotel because what? You guys are psychos, and you're going to what? Fucking start pounding on my door and start climbing the fucking walls going, weasel, weasel, weasel. And you'll start, excuse me. You know what I mean? I need my privacy. I could see you guys coming up right now, you little sneaky fuckers. So, oh man, I need some water. One sec. How you guys doing? Are these rants cool? Wait, hold on. So anyways, we're to Netflix. Get some more docs. I've seen some good ones. I saw this one, I think it was 13, but I think I've already kind of ranted about this. It's just a guy that was wrongfully accused for murder, didn't commit. He's on death row, right? And he's on death row, and he gets exonerated through DNA testing. So he's leaving. He's basically, they're letting him out. So for two decades, the guy's on fucking death row saying he didn't fucking kill the person. And everyone around him, the guards and the other people on death row, yeah, right. Yeah, sure, you know. We didn't either, you know. And DNA, the guy gets out. Imagine that fucking conversation with the guard, you know, as the guard is walking him from, I guess, his cell outside to the fucking van that's supposed to pick him up or whatever. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry I beated you for fucking two decades. Sorry I smashed you with those fucking bats in your ribs, you know, back at Christmas 94. Sorry I fucking, you know, jerked off on you. You know, I didn't know. And the guy's got to be so freaked out that he's fucking getting out of jail. probably not even listening to the guy. He's just got to be like, it's okay. Just get me the fuck out of here. You know, and then he moved to fucking England, of course, because if you know, not like that Steve Avery fucking idiot. You know, the guy, you know, this is a dumb redneck. The guy that fucking making the murder, if you're listening. Dude, you fucking got out of jail the first time. Fucking move out of the country, dude. Move to Thailand. You know, you're going to fucking stay around the bonfire and fucking, you know, whether you killed the girl or you didn't kill the girl. Like, leave. If I ever go away for a crime that I didn't commit and I get exonerated, last thing I'm going to do is fucking, you know, move back to my neighborhood. I mean, Jesus. So anyways, so that was a cool doc, and that was on Netflix. Another cool, I wouldn't say it's a cool doc, a fucking bizarre doc, dude. It was called Pervert Park or some shit. It's on Netflix. I think it's called Pervert Park. I was thinking, am I in this? You know what I mean? I must be in this. And but anyways, no, I'm not in that. I'm in Encino Man, bros. No, so it's basically about pedophiles that get out. Oh my god, I can't believe the shit they're doing documentaries on now. It's fucking insane, dude. So it's about pedophiles that go to jail for pedophilia. They get out. You know, they do their 5 to 10 years or whatever. They get out. And they get put in this like kind of trailer park area. No, it's not Trailer Park Boys, and they kind of live amongst themselves, you know, kind of like lepers or some shit, and you know, and they all know, you know, kind of what, because there's like therapy, you know, it's like a 2-year therapy, and then and the stories were gnarly. There's this one chick, she had to been like maybe in her early 40s, maybe late 30s. She basically had sex with her. She had sex with her son. Like her, not infant son, but I guess her 8-year-old son. And part of the reason why she had sex with her 8-year-old son is because her fucking dad had sex with her. So her dad was fucking her. She was fucking her son. And then her son was fucking some other kid and went to jail for, you know, for whatever. I mean, dude, what's going to make you want to have sex? I can't even spend the fucking holidays with my fucking siblings or whatever. Like, who's going to have sex with your brother and all that shit? I mean, so anyways, so these guys are living in their community. And it's kind of wild. You know what I mean? There was who else? There was another guy that was in there. And he was having crazy fetishes on the internet, you know, and then I guess he went down to Mexico and he was looking for a prostitute and he couldn't find prostitutes. So he's like, all right, I'm just going to have sex with a 5-year-old chick or 5-year-old girl. So like, how does that equation happen? Like, you're on the internet, you're looking at babes, doing your thing. You're like, I'm going to go to Mexico to prostitute and have sex with a 5-year-old. Not cool. So that was crazy. So yeah, so I saw that, and then I just had some barbecue with War Baby USA. So we're here in my hotel room, not leaving. I decided I'm gonna fucking stay here all day. It's fucking in Buffalo, you guys. It's fucking freezing here. Anyways, let me look at some shit right here. I'm just kind of so I'm doing this Byron Allen show thing on Monday. You guys know Byron Allen? He's that white black comedian. No, he's a black comedian, but he speaks white. So I'm doing it with John Lovitz and some other. See, John Lovitz should be in the fucking. He should be in the Pervert Park. He should live in Pervert Park. But anyways, I usually go to the gym. Is what I usually do on my Saturday. But War Baby woke me up. And my sleep's fucked up, and I'm kind of like, it's too cold out, and I'm just kind of like, kind of want to stay in here. The cool part about the hotels they gave me, sometimes, you know, if they're cool, you know, because the comedy clubs that book me, they don't give me a suite. You know what I mean? They don't give me, like, a big suite. Oh, Paulie's coming. We're going to give him a big suite, you know, with the basket and shit. No, it's just a normal room. Do I complain about it? Absolutely not. I don't mind. I'm here for 2 days. All I need is a what? Fucking bed. I don't need a whole thing. But now that it's fucking Buffalo and it's fucking freezing out, you know, having a suite is a pretty good thing. So, yeah. So, usually, you know, I'll do the Starbucks thing and I'll fucking go to the gym thing, get some food thing, and then chill thing. Now it's all super chill. Super duper chill. So is that all I want to rant about? I don't know. I think, am I finished with the rant, or you guys want to hear me? I can kind of hear you guys. No, stay. Keep dancing, or keep, you know, keep doing it. Where the fuck was I in? I was in Florida. I think I was in Florida last week, and I was driving around with the manager guy from the club. Or no. Wait, no, it was Jerry. She was the manager girl. I think she was in Pervert Park too. I'm not quite sure. But I was driving around and I saw this fireman. He was a fireman and he was in the streets and he had a boot. And his boot was basically saying, you know, please, you know, give us money for the fire department. You know what I mean? And he's got his fireman outfit on. He's got the whole thing, right? And in literally every car, you just see them give them money. You know, it's the fire department. You know what I mean? Like, here, you know, here's $5. Here's $20. Here's $1. You know? And I'm thinking, I'm watching this. I'm like, why don't homeless people dress up like firemen? Because if you see a homeless person, I'd say 90% of the time, you're like, spatch. Because you're thinking, oh, he's going to try and get some booze. You know, I don't know if he's really homeless. You know what I mean? Sometimes you'll feel like, you know, depending on what the sign says. If the sign says da 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 da, you're like, all right, well, that's a good one. Here's a buck. You know, but I'd say 90% of the time, you know, you're like, spatch. So if a homeless person dressed up like a fireman, I think that's the fucking move. So all the homeless person has to do is invest in a fucking fireman outfit. You know, and get a boot and just put a cool thing. Hey, we're firemen. You know, we help save cats. We get kittens out of trees. Give me some money. You know? So I think that's cool. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, I was watching, what was I doing? I was watching some show. I think it was on Lifetime. I was channel surfing the other day, and I saw Madonna. You guys remember Madonna? You guys remember Madonna? Madonna! And she was, I guess, getting a Lifetime Achievement Award. And she looks great. You know, she's Madonna. You know, whether she's old, young, it doesn't really matter. But she was talking about how life before the internet was so simpler. It's so weird to me that there's a whole generation out there that never got to experience what life was like before the internet. And when Madonna said that shit was simpler, it was simpler. And you ask, how was it simpler? It just was. People were connected to each other more, not so much connected to people online. You know, there was more of a, you know, and if you needed to use the phone, you'd use a payphone. There was actually, like, you know, kind of some type of canopy on the street, and inside that was like this big phone, and you'd go in there and you put a quarter or a dime, you know, whatever the year was, and you would, you know, call someone, and then, you know, and you'd only use it if it was an emergency. You know what I mean? You'd only use the phone if you like really had to. It's not like you're like, oh, I'm just gonna see what my friend's doing, and then all of a sudden, you know. And I think that's what's fucked about this whole cell phone, fucking iPhone, fucking Droid, like that whole thing. It's like people are constantly connecting with you via that shit for no reason. And I'm just as guilty as anyone. I'm not saying I don't. I'm like, I do. And it's just, it's a different time. Let's just say that. I don't want to say it's worse, or I don't want to say it's better, but it's a different time. But anyways, it was, for me, it was a simpler time back then. I think a lot of people are on edge these days, especially with the ISIS thing and the terrorist thing and the news and the social media, and everyone's pounding all this fucking shit down our throat. It makes us a little bit more, you know, edgy. And then on top of it, all these terrorist people and all these fucking, these killers and, you know, they watch and they feed upon, you know, the media thing. And that's part of the reason which triggers them to kill and to fucking do crazy fucking, you know, the guy that fucking shot up a church in fucking Charlotte, the kid. What do you think? He wasn't watching Waco or fucking, you know, a combine or any of these other fucking, it's not like he just woke up one day and he's like, I just gonna go shoot a church. The guy was probably on the internet. He was probably, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, watching the news, and he was probably motivated by some of these sick fucks out there, you know, that have no fucking lives. You know what I mean? You know, I think the thing is, you guys, you got to find a passion. If there's anyone out there listening that's fucking frustrated with where your career is and your life and personally, if you don't find a passion, okay, then I have no suggestions for you. One sec. I'm drinking some water. I'm starting to feel this shit. Hold on. If you don't have a passion, I have no suggestions for you on what to do. Because if you don't come up with a passion, then you're going to be a 9-to-5 guy that's fucking pissed. Because that's the thing that got me through my life. I was fortunate to find a passion, which is stand-up comedy and acting. And you know, would I do this and not get paid? Absolutely. You know what I mean? Especially when I was younger. You know what I mean? Because you're passionate about it. You know, you want to do it. Like this, for instance, this random rant stuff. It's like, do I have better things to do? I don't know. Could I create better things to do? Absolutely. But I'm passionate about talking, you know, whether it's on stage or whether it's with you guys. You know, it's like in me. It's like, let's say it's my therapy, you know, to like feel like I'm getting whatever it is in my system out. So the point that I'm trying to make is you guys out there, think and look in the mirror and say to yourself, do you have a passion? Do you have something that that you would do to not get paid, and something that you would do like when you're 60 or 70, like something, you know, painting or whatever, da, 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 and try to fucking figure out a way to make money off it eventually. Because what's going to happen is once you have that thing as a job, you're going to be going there because you're what? Passionate about it. So get passionate about the projects that you're working on. Get passionate about, you know, your career choice, because then the money and all the other fame or the accolades, what's it called? Accolades? I don't know. Will come your way, and it'll just happen. At least that's how it happened for me, and that's how it's happened for, I think, a lot of successful people. They kind of, they find something that they would do because they're passionate about it. Anyways, all right, I'm going to take a little break one sec, but I don't want to get off right now. I'm kind of feeling this shit. Talking about ISIS, you know, them living among us. It's another challenging. There was one. I want to get back to that, but I want to talk about one other thing. This was back to the Madonna thing. So my point is that there's a whole generation out there that never got to, that just knows the internet shit and just knows, you know, the iPhones and the gamers and all that shit. And they just know that we had a black president. They know that Bill Clinton and Bush were presidents, but they don't really know, you know what I mean? Cause they're, you know, they're 18, 19, 20 years old. Because if you think about it, Obama's been our president for 8 years, and he's what? He's a black man. So kids that are 10 years old, that's pretty young. That's when they saw our president, and he's black. So they probably think that's normal in a way. And then they're 18 years old. 8 years later, they're more mature. They're like, fuck, yeah, we have a black president, and everything's on the internet, and da da da. And then you get Donald Trump, this guy that comes out of the fucking, you know, guns a-blazing, and he's so different than Trump. I mean, he's so different than Obama. And he's saying shit like build a wall, get rid of Mexicans, you know, the gays, you know, the abortion. He's like saying all this shit. I mean, imagine, must have scared the shit out of this fucking younger generation than, you know, 18, 19, 20, 20-year-olds. You know what I mean? Everything was smooth with Obama. It was one big magic carpet ride. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, so back to ISIS living among us, and then I'm going to probably end with this because I'm going to take it easy. Got a cough. One sec. Drink a little water, and we're wrapping it up. We're wrapping up the rants for today. I have done two rants in a row, so you have to be what's the word? Wait, hold on. You have to be complimentary of this shit. Anyways, oh shit, there's a siren out there, but you probably can't hear it. So let's talk about Arabs and Muslimy people and people from the Middle East and Pakistanis and you know, Iraqis and Syrianis and all those fucking people. Let's talk about those people for a second. I'd have to say probably 90.99% of them are awesome. Are awesome. And then there's obviously the 1% that are what? Not awesome. Fucked up. Crazy. But that's probably the same thing as our race. You know, the Jews, the blacks, the whites, you know, it's like the same thing. But how they kind of get us with the bombs and the, you know, the unexpected shit and all that shit, that's crazy. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, wait, there's my ear thing. Wait, oh. Anyways, the point that I'm trying to make is that they live among us, and we as Americans are what? We're super cool to them. If you see an Arabic person or a fucking, you know, Pakistani family at the mall, wherever you are, you know, you have like this kind of thing like, oh, they're terrorists or, oh, they're, but you never say it. And then you say, oh, wait, you know what? They're probably fucking awesome. You know what I mean? And that's what's fucked up, you know, with the whole 9/11 thing and all these fucking terrorist people, is it put a kind of bad taste in Americans' mouths when it comes to people from the Middle East. And it's a shame. But guess what? It is what it is. It's not going to go away. You know, our main thing is to love everyone and choose love as opposed to choose like, you know, on them. But comedically, it's kind of funny, you know, it's kind of funny that, you know, cause you don't know, like I was at the gym in Florida. I'm at the gym and there's these kind of terroristy looking dudes walking around the gym. I'm like, dude, are you ISIS? I was about to say that. Cause you look like dudes that blow shit up, you know, but I didn't. You know, but we, you know, the gym manager just let the guys walk around like everything was cool. You know what I'm saying? And but who knows, right? But the point is that, like, that's why America's cool. Because imagine if, like, and, like, seriously, without joking, imagine if there was some kind of, like, Trump supporter kind of rednecky guys. Not guys that are, you know, saying bad things, but just looking like that, you know, maybe like a Confederate flag, you know, shirt on, or a Lynyrd Skynyrd fucking beard, or, you know, some work boots and some, you know, some Levi's and a flannel and holding a Coors Light, you know, like imagine that guy. Imagine him walking down the street in, say, Afghanistan or Baghdad. You know what I mean? Do you think that people in those cities would let that guy, let's just call the guy Bill, would let Bill just kind of walk around the streets like everything was cool? Or do you think they would fucking throw him in the back of a van, put an orange jumpsuit on him, and just fucking chop his head off on CNN? I don't know, you know, because the way that the media makes Saudi Arabia and fucking all that whole area, or I don't want to say Saudi. I would just say that the Middle East, the way the media makes it look is like fucking they hate Americans. And if you come over, they're going to fucking chop your head off. So the point is that I think America is pretty cool and forgiving, and we let kind of like these people just kind of come in and, you know, go for the American dream. And that's what this country's made of. And on that note, I'm signing off. I thought this was a good rant, you know, made a lot of different points. Also, if you want to email me back on any of my rants at polyrants@gmail.com, polyrants@gmail.com. And if you like any subjects that you think I should talk more about that I hit, whether it's stuff with my girlfriend, whether it's, you know, the internet versus non-internet, whether it's, you know, how America treats, you know, people from the Middle East, whatever it is, just hit me on the email as well. Besides, tell me what you want or what you're saying or saying what's up. I read all the emails. Thanks for them coming in. You guys have a great time, and I'll see you guys. I don't know if I'll do a rant tomorrow, so I'll probably see in L.A., and then I'm going with my girlfriend to Arizona to for Christmas. All right, guys. Later.